This is The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds. The Seattle Police Department has had a difficult couple of years. A strongly critical Department of Justice report found widespread excessive use of force, and a federal judge is now overseeing a plan to fix the problem. One bright spot in the media has been the police presence on the web and social media. Contrary to what you might expect, it's pretty funny and also pretty entertaining. One example, a web post at the police site, Mara What Now?, about how the Seattle police should deal with legalized marijuana. It drew worldwide attention. The Rachel Maddow Show called it the best thing in the world on that day. At HempFest last summer, SPD garnered worldwide attention again for giving out bags of Doritos with the police procedures on legal pot printed on the side. The Seattle Police Department has more than 45,000 followers on Twitter. Now, that's 9 times as many as Los Angeles PD, more than 7 times as many as New York City. And some of the credit, maybe a lot of the credit, should go to our guest, Jonah Spagenthal-Lee. He wrote about crime for The Stranger, lost his job, started his own popular blog, and now he works for the Seattle Police Department of Public Affairs, and he's been successful at crafting this image. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So what attracts you about writing about crime?
You know, it's never boring. I have a really short attention span, and there's a lot of really great stories that just sort of have their own narrative arc that happen in this city, and there's some really fun, weird, sad, strange things that happen on the police beat, and it's just something I've enjoyed covering for a while.
And it's pretty great. Community newspapers for years and years would always have a police blotter section to them, and they would write or sometimes rewrite just things that came out of what the police record had said. And that kind of is moving forward into the new generation with what you've been doing. You started out writing about crime for The Stranger?
That's correct. Yeah, I started out there as an intern, got hired, and then that and neighborhoods quickly became my beat.
Now, The Stranger has an attitude about everything. Were you asked to adopt an attitude about police if you were going to write about it for The Stranger?
You know, I've always had my own attitude about all kinds of things, so I think that just kind of came with the territory.
And what is your attitude?
Delightful. Yeah, I have a delightful attitude.
And delighted, I would say. Sometimes delighted by these stories that you get to see. What happened that caused you to leave The Stranger?
We parted ways. They let me go. They, at the time, I guess, wanted to go in a new direction with that beat. And so they did. And after that, I kind of sat around for a month trying to figure out what to do and started my own crime blog. Didn't want to let my sources dry up, and just kind of moved on from there and bounced around to a couple of different outlets and ended up where I'm at.
Like the perfectly modern journalist, you started your own blog after losing your print job. And when you started, you had sources that were developed. How do you develop sources, particularly in law enforcement? Because these are folks who do not necessarily talk to the press, talk to journalists very much. How do you do that?
Well, you know, cops still have opinions about things and whatever, whether it's the way the department's run, whether, you know, you got something right or wrong on a story. And, you know, there would be times when they would call me up and express their opinions and just by being my charming self, sometimes managed to get them to meet me for coffee or drinks or whatever. And we'd go from there. And, you know, it's hard work developing those sources and just digging through court documents and cold calling people. But, you know, it worked out pretty well and I got pretty good at it.
Now, when I read your stuff on the SPD blog or elsewhere, you seem to have really worked at developing a certain voice and a certain tone for what it is that you're putting across. How would you describe that?
You know, it's kind of a mix. I want police stuff that, you know, the things I'm writing now, I want them to be things people want to read. And just trying to reach out to the public at large and say, hey, if you want to read about crime in your city, whether it's, you know, sad, funny, whatever, here's where you can go find it. And so when it's appropriate to just sort of let an incident stand on its own and for being as odd as it is, you know, that's the sort of the note I try to hit. And when it's something, you know, scary or whatever, that's, you know, just walking through the details as they happen.
There's a certain irreverence to your writing. Were you surprised when the Seattle police, did they reach out to you to take this job with them, or did you reach out to them?
Yeah, they reached out to me. I think there were just, you know, a lot of police departments have been trying to get into the, sort of expand their social media and blogging. And, you know, they happened to reach out to me at a time when I was looking for something to do. Yeah, I mean, they were familiar with my work. My boss now, Sergeant Sean Whitcomb in the media unit. We, you know, had numbers, you know, hundreds of hours of phone calls and done battle over the years. And so they knew what I was doing and what they were getting. And, you know, it's been fun.
So he'd been one of those guys who'd been calling out, complaining about stuff that you'd written, and then he's on the phone saying, hey, would you like a job here?
It was a lot more of me calling and saying, hey, Sean, so I know about this thing you guys are going to be doing soon. You want to talk about it? And, you know, he would say no, and I would harangue him and prod him and just kind of do my job and, you know, but always had fun doing it, so...
What did you feel about going from what we journalists still call obnoxiously call from journalism to the dark side, to like working on behalf of an organization to kind of present what they have to say in a way that's going to reflect well on them? What did you think about doing that?
You know, yeah, that was something I wrestled with prior to taking the job and just, you know, really thought about it for quite some time and what that meant for me and what I wanted out of the whole thing. And ultimately, I just, you know, I've been in the business of storytelling and sort of translating cop E's and talking about crime in the city for so long. And I just sort of wanted to retain the things that I'd built over time, voice and tone and style and just being transparent about, you know, things that I knew about and been able to carry that over.
Are there other things that you're thinking about writing for the blog or on Twitter where you have to censor yourself or where someone who you work with says, no, Jonah, that goes too far?
Well, I used to swear in the headlines on my site a lot, but I don't do that so much anymore. You know, I know we're reaching a broad audience, so I don't want to go out of the way to offend anybody. And I understand I'm writing for a city site and representing an organization online. So, you know, I try to be respectful of that. But it's a big sandbox to play in, and there's a lot of ways around just doing the standard straight press releasey type of stuff that government organizations have done over the years.
Yeah.
So, they've given me a lot of trust and leeway to do things, and I think I've been pretty successful at navigating that.
Jonah Spagenthal-Lee is my guest. If you read the SPD website or their Twitter feeds, you've probably read some of the stuff that he did. He was doing his own blog. He wrote for The Stranger and kind of brings some of that irreverent attitude to what he does for the Seattle Police Department in that. And it's kind of been recognized all over the country. What are some of the posts that you are particularly proud of, Jonah?
Oh, man. You know, I've been really proud of the way we've responded, how responsive we've been on Twitter and the sort of the audience we've built up there. You know, whether it's just when we're, you know, joking about Comic-Con and something like that takes off. You know, I think I made a joke about how our mounted officers were actually just centaurs, centaur cosplayers, and that was quite a hit at Comic-Con. And having those audience interactions in sort of the quiet times, but then when we have something like Cafe Racer or some of those other major, really frightening incidents happening that, you know, affect the whole city, we've built that audience up so that we can tweet out information to keep people safe. You know, May Day, when downtown was just a moving mass of demonstrators and police, being able to walk people through, you know, almost live where that was happening. And so I'm really proud of that. And we've been able to achieve that. And we're, you know, I think the third highest police department, municipal police department in the country.
Well, it's impressive that there are all these Twitter followers. And the Seattle Police Department doesn't just send out one Twitter feed. You can get a Twitter feed from your own neighborhood. So you can find out what they're tweeting out about that particular neighborhood. So it's very specialized. I'm sure that's part of the reason for the success. But having kind of come from social media and having some expertise in that area to the police department, do you feel as though you've got it down yet? Are there still things that you think that the police department needs to work on when it comes to honing how it reaches people through these still a little bit unusual ways?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Twitter, the reason we got on Twitter largely was because we knew there was an audience there. And, you know, when you're a big government organization, it's hard to build platforms quickly and develop those and then bring an audience to you. So, you know, when I got there, I said, hey, let's look at they had a Twitter account, but it, you know, in terms of who we can tap into and what we can use this for, there's already a large audience here that we can bring to us. And so, yeah, there's a lot of other newly developing platforms out there that we want to get on and just keep talking about what happens in the department. And, you know, Tumblr, for instance, is a hugely growing platform. And that's something we're looking at right now.
Is it your job to make the police department look good?
It's my job to talk about what happens at the police department. You know, we talk about the good stuff. We talk about the bad stuff. And I just try to be as open and honest with all the details that I'm able to scrounge up and present them accurately. I know that that's certainly a side effect of that sometimes is you know, something that, you know, when we put all the information out there, it's not a week-long story anymore because there's nothing to uncover when we put it all out there. But I just, you know, I see that as a big piece of what we do in my unit is just letting people know everything we know and are able to tell them.
Going from the guy on the outside to the guy on the inside, I'm sure that you had frustrations when you were dealing with the police department about getting information in some way, shape, or form. Now that you're on the inside, have you been able to change that for others who are like you were?
Yeah. And that's another thing I really enjoy doing is looking at the systems and the way things are and the way they are and seeing what I can do to help sort of push some sort of change or, you know, encourage making the process better. You know, like the Get Your Bike Back Twitter feed we just started not too long ago. There were just all these bikes sitting in the warehouse.
Yeah, explain what that is.
Yeah, so basically we have a Twitter feed now that we tweet out descriptions of bikes that are in our evidence warehouse. And people can look at the feed and, you know, go online. And if it looks like it might be their bike that was stolen or they lost it or whatever, they can email our evidence unit and we have a detective there who processes all those bikes and he'll try to get bikes back to people. And I think we've had it up for a month and we've actually had two people get their bikes back that probably wouldn't have otherwise. People don't write down the serial numbers. So if they report their bike as being stolen, they don't always have the serial number, which makes it really hard to track. So we have 500 bikes down in the evidence unit and we're now slowly tweeting those out and helping get them back to people who they, you know, were taken from.
A lot of us rely on your Twitter feeds and your other feeds to find out what's going on in a Cafe Racer type emergency that's going on. And certainly we at the radio station are totally paranoid about putting stuff out that's wrong or incorrect. And you want to vet it as carefully as you can. At the same time, there's a need for speed. And I think those pressures would be even more so on the police department. How do you check out stuff to make sure that you're putting out correct stuff? And have you ever had to retract something?
Yeah, we've had to pull back on a couple of things before. I think it's only happened once or twice. And thankfully, I think it was nothing major. I mean, I came from double sourcing, triple sourcing everything. And so I still like to do that if it's something that I'm concerned we want to make sure is just there's not going to be any question about it later on. You know, the things we typically, you know, I think end up switching on is, hey, we arrested somebody for, you know, a robbery. It turns out, you know, the person that officer stopped wasn't the suspect or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, no, I try to make sure we vet everything pretty closely if it's a big issue.
Just about out of time, but I'm sure your contacts within the police department have improved since you work there now. But how about your community sources? Are they a little suspect? Are you a little suspect with them now since you work for the police, Jonah?
No, I like to think I built a reputation of being a good guy who's honest and you know, clear with people and about what I'm looking for and what information I have. And so, no, I you know, the folks in the community I still talk to, still get along with great.
Jonah Spagenthal-Lee, thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
He works with the Seattle Police Department in the public affairs area, and he's kind of behind a lot of their social media and web activity. This is The Record.